A career Christian minister, Phil Blackwell, is also an activist who seeks social justice. He has spent a lifetime fighting for the economic conditions of the poor and fights against racial stereotypes. And no, Phil Blackwell doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was a conservative Republican.
Hi, this is Phil Blackwell. I'm a retired Protestant minister after 45 years of talking to a lot of people in public places, finding myself talking only to myself, and I invite you to listen in for a bit. About love is all you need. A couple of weeks ago, my wife, Sally, and I were in Cape Cod celebrating with dear friends their 50th wedding anniversary. And getting ready for the occasion prompted me to look back at what was going on in 1967. First heart transplant, first ATM, the 6 Days War, and the release of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, a collection of complex compositions some have said changed the sound of rock music. But tucked in just before they released that was a simple song, All You Need Is Love. The Beatles, there's nothing you can do that can't be done, nothing you can sing that can't be sung, nothing you can say, but you can learn to play the game. It's easy. All you need is love. Love is all you need. And so goes on the refrain, on and on and on. But Jesus said the same thing about love. It's all you need. He did it without a band backing him or much else in the background, except for the backing of the Old Testament, the laws and prophets of the Hebrew Scripture. Jesus was a devout Jew, and he knew his sacred texts. So we have this encounter in the Christian Gospel of Matthew where the Pharisaical lawyers put Jesus to the test. In an earlier Gospel of Mark, the same question is asked by an earnest seeker of the truth, and here it's not an earnest question, but an attempt to trick Jesus into saying something heretical. So, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus answers with a reference to the book of Deuteronomy, a sacred verse from the Torah that he might have recited twice a day as a good Jew. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And then he continues with what might have been a challenge to the hostile questioner. Not a separate commandment, actually, though it comes from a different part of the Old Testament, from Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So love God and love your neighbor. They imply one another, he says. They require one another as two beats of the same rhythm. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything else is a commentary on this greatest of all commandments. Love is all you need. So love God. How do we do that? Pope Francis, in his powerful encyclical on the environment, reminds us that our common home is like a sister with whom we share life and a beautiful mother who opens her arms to embrace us. And then he goes on to quote St. Francis of Assisi, "Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us and who produces various fruit with colored flowers and herbs." I mean, imagine waking up and singing that every morning before your feet touch the floor. And imagine weathering the complaints from everyone else in your house hearing you do it. Over the years, I've tried to discipline myself to think quietly as I'm about ready to get out of bed, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Or at least, "This is the day the Lord has made. Don't screw it up." To be glad even before the day begins. To receive the day as a freely offered gift from God, no matter what will happen. To embrace life just for the very fact that I'm alive. That's an act of love. Not based on results, but on possibilities. Loving God with all our heart and soul and mind. And if we are to love the Creator, then we are to love the creation. I have a painting at home on the shelf of a blue jay. It's simple, clearly done by an amateur. It has no worth outside of our home. The Art Institute in Milwaukee has not called for us to loan it for a display. But My father painted it as part of his enjoyment after retiring from work from decades of being a branch manager for the Sherwin Williams Paint Company. I loved the creator, so I love the creation. And then Jesus adds, love your neighbors yourself. Obviously, he didn't know our neighbors. I mean, God created our neighbors. Yes, I mean, the one who blows all the leaves off his drive in our direction, the one who plays loud music at night, the one who's not as sure as we are of where the lot line is, and yes, even the one who placed that horrible sign in her front yard last autumn leading up to the election. But Jesus means even more than that. Someone hears Jesus command us to love our neighbor, and they ask the obvious question, so who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, everyone. Everyone. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. I confess I have trouble with that. In these politically charged days, I have so many enemies. If we truly love God and love our neighbor, it'll turn the world upside down. Love is that radical. It goes to the root of things. Love is all we need to make life fascinating, complex, dangerous, and ultimately rewarding. So love God, love our neighbor, love the creator, and love the creation. God's creation goes beyond our neighbors, beyond human beings everywhere. The creation also means loving the world in which we live. That means loving the light and the darkness of our day and night, day one of creation. It means loving the atmospheric dome that separates the earth from the sky, day two of creation. It means loving the dry land with its forests and fields and the oceans with their life-generating diversity, day three of creation. It means loving the rhythm of the season, seed time and harvest and migration patterns, day four of creation. It means loving the birds, the fish, the animals, and all of the creatures we have not yet discovered, day five of creation. And then we get to loving one another, all others everywhere, the glory of day six of creation. And finally, on the seventh day, we love God who created it all, who took a day of rest and declared the creation to be very good. Aldo Leopold, the great environmentalist from the University of Wisconsin at the midpoint of last century, never seeing himself as a theologian, nevertheless made this theological point. The earth is not a commodity, but a community. That is, all of the plants and animals and water and soil and trees and air are not things to be used up by us, but to be revered as resources to be directed toward helping all the people to flourish. In other words, the directive in Genesis to have dominion over the earth does not mean to have domination. It means, like a benign king or queen, to use all the resources of the realm to nourish the lives of all. Love God and love your neighbor. Love the creator. Love the creation. Love is all you need. Phil Blackwell, MadisonTalks.com.